Welcome to Cast of Wonders, the fiction audio magazine for young adults featuring stories of the fantastic. I'm Graham Dunlop. Today we present Damnation by Chris Stamp. Chris is an interesting guy. He's had some pretty cool jobs. Right now, his company Oakleaf Web Design offers a full range of web design services, but he's also been a game designer and worked for British Aerospace Military Aircraft Division on cockpit design. You can find out more about his exploits, including mountain biking and writing science fiction, at www.chrisstamp.co.uk. And now, we've a tale to tell. Damnation by Chris Stamp. Perry spoke into the shuttle cockpit's comms handset.
Kennedy, are you receiving me?
Loud and clear, Major Perry. Richardson here.
Good to hear your voice, General. I have a status report for you all. I'm in tandem with the asteroid now, and you're not going to believe this. Looks like our friend is there again. A single humanoid life form, just like last time.
Well, I'll be damned.
Perry could detect the General's bemusement, despite the distortion of the long-range transmission making him sound like a wasp trapped in a jar.
Nothing could have escaped the detonation of the last one, could it? This must be another of the same?
No idea, General. I think this time maybe I'd better get a closer look, see if I can learn anything that might help us understand why they're deflecting towards Earth. If this is going to be a regular occurrence, we need to figure out what's going on.
I keep it quick, Major. We're cutting it fine and Priority One is saving our asses down here. Blast that chunk of slag to pieces and we can figure it out later.
Understood, replied Perry. A brief reconnaissance only.
Confirmed. Godspeed, Major.
Perry replaced the handset and maneuvered the shuttle closer alongside the slowly tumbling, potato-shaped mass of frozen rock, peering intently through the side windscreen of the cockpit. He thought he could make out a flickering orange glow from a pockmark of a crater on its rotating flank, and set the shuttle's visual scanner to lock onto the moving target, looking down at the front console to watch as the image stabilized into a close-up view. What he saw defied belief. A muscular figure crouched next to a campfire, crimson skin bright as hot coals, black cloak streaming in a fierce wind that couldn't exist in space. The creature stirred the fire with a trident, sending a burst of sparks swirling around him. He turned to look directly into the camera, a broad grin cracking open his horned face to reveal wicked teeth and black tongue. Perry frowned. His trained mind automatically started an analysis of the practicalities of the situation. To establish possible explanations for the wind, the fire, the biological attributes that one would need in order to live on the surface of an asteroid without a suit. But his speculations evaporated into confusion as the figure unmistakably beckoned an invitation to join him at the fireside and held up the trident to skewer marshmallows on the points, one by one. This couldn't be real. Perry watched for long moments, the first stabs of anxiety penetrating his professional calm. Snatching his gaze from the screen, he started to prepare the nuclear weaponry to destroy the asteroid. A velvet voice in his head broke his concentration.
We should stop meeting like this, Major Perry. But just this once, come and join me. I promise I won't bite.
It was more than a man of science could bear. Shaking his head in nervous denial, Perry fumbled with the switches as he hurried through the arming sequence, only to find himself reaching towards flames, waves of heat searing his face, the bittersweet smell of wood smoke in his nostrils.
Welcome to my humble camp, Major.
He turned to look at his host. Firelight flickered across waxy skin and bulging sinew. Yellow eyes fixed him with a frank, good-humoured gaze. A black and starry sky tumbled vertiginously beyond, causing Peary to totter a step. It took him a moment to notice the large glass of brandy being offered. Not knowing what else to do, he accepted, careful not to touch the thick black fingernails in which it was caged.
Thank you, sir.
He looked dubiously at the viscous brown liquid, reluctant to sample it, but not wishing to offend.
Nice place you have here,
he stalled, the realization that his bodily fluid should be starting to boil away about now, eclipsing any embarrassment at the banality of the statement.
Good of you to say so,
the creature replied in a voice that made Piri's chest cavity resonate.
Quite cozy, although it can be a little chilly if you step up to the rim. Shame that you destroyed my last abode.
He gazed wistfully out into the void. Perry steeled himself, seeking to gain a measure of composure.
Nothing personal, I assure you. It was posing a threat to Earth. As is this one, actually. I hope you won't detain me long. Time is of the essence if I'm to prevent a catastrophe.
The predatory eyes narrowed, and his nerve threatened to crumble.
I'm sure we can compensate you appropriately. You perhaps find suitable alternative accommodation?
Well, here's where we have a conflict of interest. You see, I've gone to a lot of trouble to aim this asteroid. I thought New York would make an impression. And there are others on the way. Shanghai, Mexico City, Tokyo, New Delhi.
Lobster-hued talons counted them off.
For starters, anyway.
I see, Perry replied. This would seem to be a departure from your usual activities, if you are who you appear. Unsubtle, if I might be so bold.
He cringed inwardly at his impudence, but his host nodded acknowledgement.
Lamentably true, but these are exceptional times, are they not? When he said, go forth and multiply, he hadn't anticipated that you would overwhelm the lovely Gaia. She's had some explaining to do, I can tell you. He mules protest about everything being part of his great plan, of course. But believe me, he got this one wrong. You all rather overdid it, didn't you? I don't know why he persisted with you for so long, but suffice it to say, he has now subcontracted me to help out in an unaccustomed capacity, as you've obviously failed to help yourselves. Your species has doomed itself. But he'd like to salvage some of his favorite others from your gluttonous excesses. That's a little harsh, responded Perry, pricked by indignation. I wouldn't say we're doomed. We have some very progressive new programs in place, legally binding targets for carbon emissions and population management.
His protestations were drowned out by his host's chuckles.
Well, he obviously isn't impressed. And now he and I have agreed a carefully planned program of unnatural disasters. Just a little disruption to give you a shove. It won't take much. Not many of you will survive without the creature comforts you've allowed yourselves to depend on, and it'll take less than you think to confiscate those. I believe he's planning on giving souls to dolphins once you've been put back in your place. Another nuisance you've caused, it means I'll have to learn to swim.
Piri felt the first stirrings of panic.
For God's sake, there must be some other...
He realized what he was saying.
I mean, can't we strike a bargain of some kind?
Aha! Maybe you fancy yourself a fiddler.
An instrument appeared in Piri's free hand.
Or you think to offer your soul in exchange for a city or two?
His host shook his head in regret.
No deal, I'm afraid. You know my weaknesses, but my patron wouldn't thank me for indulging in distractions.
You're telling me God is responsible for the asteroid threat? I don't believe you. He's a construct of humanity, if he exists at all.
Blacker than the void, eyebrows arched.
Call this a case of morbid self-loathing, then. But maybe it's not too late to change his mind. You could invite him to your next UN conference. See if you can thrash out a new treaty with him as a signatory.
A mocking smile revealed an expanse of teeth and a flair for cruelty.
Are you going to drink that, by the way?
A long black fingernail gestured towards the brandy.
You really should make the most of life's small luxuries while you can. And as your soul is not at stake on this occasion, you may consider me trustworthiness personified.
Piri took a sip, resigned to the realization that his fate was, for the moment, not his to dictate. An exquisite fire spread down his throat, through his veins, tingling in every extremity, and he shuddered in involuntary rapture. His host nodded in satisfaction.
It's a nice one, isn't it? One of my favorites. Potent, though. I'd better not let you drive home. Goodbye, Major.
Piri faced a startled General Richardson, brandy glass still in one hand, fiddle in the other. Around the command center, open-mouthed faces turned, one by one, from their computer screens.
Hello, General, said Piri.
He took a deep breath.
I'm afraid we need to start praying.
Damnation, that was good.
Hope you enjoyed it. When I asked Chris if there was anything he'd like to say about the story, he said, Damnation was partly inspired by phone conversations with famous scientist James Lovelock, originator of the Gaia theory, and author of books warning of the peril of the human race due to climate change. Professor Lovelock was the subject of a BBC 4 Beautiful Minds documentary last year as part of a series looking at the lives of extraordinary scientists. He is of the belief that it's already too late to prevent environmental catastrophe because the climate has passed a tipping point and will stabilize into a hotter state. He believes humans will be unsustainable in the new state and suffer a catastrophic collapse. He's a patron of the Optimum Population Trust, along with many other famous names. An organization presenting the case that green initiatives are tinkering with the symptoms and without measures to control the human population, we have a bleak future. For most people, of course, the story is just a fun and surprising superimposition of an archaic representation of the world on a space-age setting, which is fine. Cast of Wonders is released under a Creative Commons, Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license. So you can share this story with as many people as you like, but you aren't allowed to change it or sell it. Join us next time for Alienation by Catherine Sparrow.